our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we'll begin this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 419, stanzas 2. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. Blessed is the man whom thou hast chosen and bringest nigh to thee, that in thy courts reposing his dwelling place may be. 419, we sing stanzas 2. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 1. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Thus far.
When we seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer, we will acknowledge the Lord with Mr. and Mrs. Marius Huflaken, who were blessed with a baby boy in this past week. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. All-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, when in the morning of this thy Sabbath day we are privileged to be in thy house, where thou hast granted another week that lies behind, a week in the time of grace, in the time in which we have been given to seek the Lord. And Lord, thou knowest most perfectly whether that is the case in the life of young and old or not, whether we yet live for own account, traveling through the time to eternity, or that thou hast given that missing and seeking life. And even then, Lord, whether that seeking may be outside of self, or that we yet seek it in ourself, Lord, may it then be a wonder this morning for each and every one of us, that thou hast not done with us according to our sin, and that thou hast not rewarded us according to our abominations, but that we may still be here, and that thou art still coming unto us in this morning, and that not only with the audible word, but also with the visible word. And this morning, when that sacrament of commemorating thy death till thou cometh may also be seen in our midst, for guilty ones, for those ones who cannot help themselves anymore, but who helplessly flee to thee, and for those who cannot find a hope in themselves anymore, but who with an Esther may come hoping in thee, and if we then perish, we perish, but then rather at thy feet than in the world. Lord, wilt thou graciously look upon us in this morning, from young to old, and make us all for the first time or by renewal guilty before thee, that mighty stream of foul transgression that prevails from day to day. And how often must thy children even say that? Oh, those many and manifold sins, Lord, wilt thou purge them all away? And that can only be in the blood of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is only possible in him who gave his life, who carried away and bore the curse of the law in order to bless his people with a blessing from thy store. Oh Lord, then thou knowest how things are in the life of each of us. Those that are not yet concerned about themselves, those that sit in thy house out of custom, Lord, give them this morning that they truly may stand outside, and that they may receive an open eye for whom thou art and who we are. That the guilt be bound upon the heart standing outside and having nothing for eternity. That the need be bound on the heart, O Lord, my Maker, think on me. But also those who are concerned and who find nothing in self and who have nothing and who are unconverted as they see it themselves, Lord, we beseech thee, instruct them. Grant a new heart unto our children and to our youth, adults and elderly, a heart to fear thy name, that may long for thee, that as the heart panteth after the water brooks, does their heart may thirst and their soul may hunger for thee, the living God. But also thy children, thou knowest where they are encamped. O Lord, may be carried away with many and diverse doctrines, or carried away with many struggles and temptations, and carried away with many assaults. The whispers from within and without, they try to have them abstain from thy table. Lord, we beseech thee that thou wilt look upon them, and that thou wilt bring at thy table a people out of the midst of this flock, of whom thou knowest, and unto whom thou hast granted that beginning of that life of grace, the people who cannot keep the life in their own hands anymore. Lord, that thou wilt give them to eat and to drink at thy table, that thou wilt feed and nourish them with thy crucified body and shed blood, and that their heart may be confirmed and be strengthened, for thou strengthenest thy people with grace. Grace that cannot be found in self, but that comes from on high, from thee. Lord, remember then each and every one of us. Thou knowest what we stand in need of. And Lord, what thou wilt withhold from us, wilt thou not withhold thy mercy and grace? And a taste of thy goodness, give them an ear to hear and a heart to understand. Prick the ears of the deaf and open the eyes of the blind, and grant feet unto those who have no feet, and hands unto those who have no hands to handle. Be with the sick and the needy, with the afflicted. Thou knowest what they need. Uphold and give what is necessary for the body and for the mind, but especially for the soul. Lord, remember the family whom thou hast once again gladdened, where thou hast kept life and given life and spared life. Lord, it is not just a matter of course. It is a wonder. It is thy creation. But Lord, may that child, and may each and every one of us that have been born once, for that means lost,
because that is conceived and born in sin, be born again. For then we are born twice, and then we are saved. For that is that birth from on high that comes from above. That is that birth that thy Spirit worketh in the heart. May the parents, may the children, may each and every one of us be or become a partaker of that. To thy name's honor and glory, Lord, give us in this morning thy help. Will thou give us a blessing in listening, thy servant in proclaiming. Lord, may he receive also a token of thy favor, that it may be not only in his mind and in his mouth, but that it may be in his heart. For he as well needs the same thing. Oh, be then with us, be with those that cannot be here, visit them wherever they are, and those that would not be here, visit them too. To make a guilty one before thee, we have much to ask. We have deserved nothing, and we cannot plead on any worthiness in man and in us, but we plead on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, who is still busy to gather his people, and who still strengthens his people. Wherefore, an ending praise one day will be thine. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together Psalter 227, all three stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, before thee. Psalter 227. are they, beloved, of whom we heard it last Sabbath day in an hour of preparation, that the Lord invites them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who are they? Who may at moments receive, as we heard, a little pause, a moment that all the burdens are laid aside, and that all the troubles are taken, and that they for a moment may look outside of self unto him. Who are they? Well, we just sang of it. That is that blessed people whose joy and strength is the Lord. That is a people in whose heart are his ways. That is a people that may not deny that they know something about the ways of the Lord in the life of his people. And that is a people that those ways have always a beginning. Our children know that the ways, each way has a beginning. And that way continues. And that way has an end. That way has a beginning. But the Lord makes missing and seeking where he makes guilty before him. As the poet of this psalm we just sang about, who was standing outside and yet received by that love of God shed in his heart the longing and the yearning in that spiritual banishment afar, and that had no rest until he would find it in Jerusalem, in the temple with the altars, until he would find it in him, that great son of David, who said, and I will give you rest. There's a people that at moments may receive such a pause, that may receive such a strength outside of self. And that not once, but that is necessary continually. That's why now the Lord Jesus said of his holy table, do this until I come. Do this in remembrance of me. And that it thus may be true what that same psalter just sang, their strength shall still increase. And why is that necessary? Because that people does not find the strength in themselves. In themselves they must say weakness. In themselves they must say when they view the table it is impossible. But now to experience with David their strength shall increase. And with the church of the New Testament, as the apostle says, my strength. Not his strength, now the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. Now for those the Lord has administered this table, and those he invites here out of the midst of this flock, out of the midst of this congregation to come, and those who have no church rites, ach, the Lord can even give them a token of his favor. Then he is not dependent on that place at this table, but he can also give it in the pews. Let us consider that with the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing for a brief moment this morning. God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 13, and there are verse 9, the middle part. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And then we write under this text, the heart established. And then the way of this establishing, or the necessity, the way and the fruit. The necessity, why is that now necessary? And the way, and at the table, something of the fruit. So the necessity, and the way, and the fruit of that establishing of the heart. Our text, beloved, has been taken from the epistle of the Apostle Paul unto the Hebrews. So the Hebrews, that is another name for the Jews. No, not all the Jews, but they are the Jews that were scattered abroad after the persecution of Stephen. That went now everywhere. And unto whom the Lord now wrote an epistle. Why? They were living in the midst of the world. No longer in Jerusalem, no longer in Canaan, but everywhere in the Greek big world. All spread. And can you imagine how they struggled? Because they had a desire, though they lived in the world, not to be of the world. And do you imagine, beloved, how they needed instruction so that the heart would be established with grace and not be carried about with many diverse things and doctrines as it was going around in the Greek world with all the idols. And as it so easily can go around in the heart, even of the church. Outward church, there can be so many strange and diverse doctrines, and you find them in all kinds of churches, also in the churches and denominations where they profess to have the truth yet. And why is that? Because our heart is always open for that. But now the closer we may live to God's word, the more the Lord can instruct. Now that is why now the apostle wrote an epistle, the same as James, right? James also wrote an epistle unto those Jews that were scattered, those Christians. And James, he spoke about the practice of godliness, but Paul, he speaks about the doctrine of godliness. And there is but one theme in this epistle. And that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is that only and chief high priest. He is the one that is more than Levi, that is more than Aaron, that is more than Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who had two offices, king and priest. But Christ is prophet, priest, and king. And now here in this chapter is shown unto us as that chief high priest, who with his sacrifice obtained the people for salvation. He's not a high priest taken from Aaron, ordained for man in things pertaining to God. No, he is that high priest between God and man. After the order of Melchizedek. And now it is with regards to him who in the stillness of eternity was appointed by his Father to come to this world in the fullness of the time. And that for wretched sinners, those that have been created good but have fallen away so deeply, those that are conceived and born in sin and yet have been stopped on this broad way to destruction, who have become a guilty one before the Lord and who cannot find any hope in themselves anymore, helpless and hopeless, to thee I cry, set thou my soul on high. And maybe there are those in this morning in our midst, and yet no light in the way to escape. Oh, then we can know it all with our mind, eh? There lies a danger too in our days, that we reason it out with our mind, or that we go with a little certain feeling and emotion. But the just shall live by faith. Faith unto him who is revealed unto a guilty one. Faith unto him who appears to the joy of his grieved people. And there you have the core of the gospel. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance, a people that more and more comes with empty hands, and that can bring nothing along. But when now Christ be revealed, and if he appears, then there comes a joy in the heart, even if they may receive a little knowledge of him. And it is for such a people that our text says it is a good thing. Or you can also say, it is a necessary thing. It is a thing that cannot be missed, be it well for the time and eternity. This is one of the last admonitions here in this chapter, in which the apostle gives a number of admonitions in those times of confusion. In those times in which the heart of many of those Christians out of the Jews were carried away with all kinds of doctrines. And you can read about that in the epistles unto the seven congregations in Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3. There were the Nicolaitans, and there were others who say, no, yeah, it is about the heart, and our life doesn't matter so much. And if your heart be saved, then you can do with your body whatever you like, because the more sin you do, the more grace you can receive. Paul says that's a strange doctrine. That's a doctrine that is not according to God's words. That is a doctrine that is contrary to it, and that will not lead to salvation, but that will lead, if that doesn't change, to eternal damnation. And I sometimes fear that those strange and diverse doctrines are found among us more than we wish and hope. Because we can be saying that we have the truth, thankfully. We may still have God's word. But what about our life? How was that in the week of this preparation that lies behind? The apostle says it is a good thing, it is a necessary thing, that the heart, so it is about the heart. And children, you have heard it often already, have, that you need a new heart. And what is that now? What is that now, a new heart? Well, the Bible says that the heart is the spiritual center of your life. From the heart are the issues of life, Solomon says. That means all the lines to our thinking and speaking and acting and going, everything what we do proceeds from the heart. There in that heart the decisions are made, and the thoughts come up, and the plans are formed. And that heart by nature is far from God. That heart by nature is filled with the things of time and sense, or is filled with an outward religion without a tender fear of the Lord. And now it is a good thing, it is necessary that the heart, so something needs to happen with the heart. When Adam and Eve fell in paradise, their heart turned away from the Lord and their life turned away from the Lord. And now that heart needs to be renewed. And children, the Bible says that your heart can be compared with a stone. Stone is cold and hard. But now that stony heart needs to be taken away, and a heart of flesh. Compare it with the heart in our body that is beating. Well, when the Lord gives his love in the heart, that you receive that new heart that may have love towards him whom they miss and they cannot miss. Their heart and flesh cry then out unto the living God, O God, I have placed myself outside. And how can I ever be reconciled to thee? Maybe that's one's in our midst. They say the Lord's table is not for me, that is for God's people. And that's not me. Of those whom the Lord brings at his table must often think the same. But those are a people that cannot keep their life in themselves anymore, but have seen outside of self and may now see their life in him. That heart needs to be renewed. That's where it starts. Remember, young and old, the way has a beginning. That is the renewing of the heart. Has that ever taken place? It was absolutely necessary. Otherwise we live for own account. Otherwise there is no place at the table of the Lord. When that has taken place, if you may not deny how, when, and where the Lord stopped you and made you guilty before him, you know what that people needs? That heart needs to be strengthened too. We read that in our text. It is a good thing. It is a profitable thing. It is a necessary thing for God's children that the heart be established. And the Greek word literally means confirmed. Then the words of Psalm 62 come to mind. Once the Lord has spoken, twice have I heard it. What do God's children now need? Do they need when that the Lord has once spoken, or when they think that the Lord has spoken, then they can do their entire life with it? No. Their heart needs to be established. That heart needs to be taught. That heart needs to learn to die at all that is no God and no Christ. That heart and what the Lord has done in that heart needs to be confirmed, needs to be strengthened, you may also translate it. Establish, confirm, strengthen. Now that is now exactly what the Lord wants to do by his word, but also by the sacraments. Why has now the Lord given two sacraments, holy baptism and the Holy Supper? That he, unto whom unending strength and praise be, may in their weakness strengthen their heart. And how does the Lord do that? A voice from heaven? No, that's not how the Lord works, because we have the prophetic word. And we do well that we take heed thereunto. How does the Lord do that? That when we read the text and that is fitting for us, we take the text and run with it? No. That is when now in the impossibilities of such a sinner, and in the weakness of that people, in their guilt and in their impossibilities, the Lord by his word applies it by his spirit and speaks comfortably to their hearts, where that people may once again believe that they are not utterly a stranger. And what did our old people then say? That the last confirmation, the last strengthening, the last establishing. And when has that now been for the last time, people of the Lord? That is the best assurance. And now the Lord wants to do that by his words. It is a good thing. No, not a recommendable thing, but a good thing, a necessary thing. In the life of God's true people, they cannot do it with the past. You? Then there is at least backsliding. And then it is no wonder that there is much darkness. God's children, when the strength of what the Lord has given in the past is gone, and they see their own weakness again, when they feel those burdens of transgressions with which they are heavy laden, overborne, then they need a new strengthening, then they need a new path. And they need a new resting place. So like Psalm 23, young and old. And now the Lord is the shepherd of his sheep. He makes them to lie down. He doesn't chase those sheep all the time, but he makes them to lie down. Those sheep don't do that at their own thought. No, he makes them down to lie. And he gives those sheep those pauses, those moments of rest in the shepherd. And that is what the Lord wants to do also at the stable. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And what is grace? That is the opposite of the curse. A curse weren't the people this morning that cannot find in themselves any surety, that cannot find in themselves any life. Grace, that is the opposite of what we deserve. And the form says then this morning that they do not come testifying that they are in themselves perfect, but that they are dead in themselves, but seek their life outside of self in him. No, that is grace. That cannot be reasoned out. That can only be experienced and be bewondered. And when now the Lord brings a people at the stable, that be wandering maybe there for a moment. Established, confirmed, and strengthened. No, not with, and now I believe I have something. And not with, I believe the Lord did something in my life. But established, confirmed, strengthened with him who is signed and signified at his table by broken bread and shed wine, with grace that is only to be found because of Christ, who suffered outside of the camp, who gave his life, who bore their sin and the curse, that they may receive his blessing. Here in the beginning, it is a good thing that the heart be strengthened, that comes from above. Be is his work. They cannot take it. They can only hold up their empty hands, and even that is grace. be strengthened. And when that may be there, then the Lord, he will show that grace for a hell-worthy sinner. I for you, whereas you otherwise would have suffered everlastingly, given my life. And then they find a pause, a rest. And then they are strengthened in their weakness. And then they may, as those fathers in the past, those old ones said, and they may sign up again. Then for a moment they may believe it again. It is a good and necessary thing that the heart be established, strengthened, confirmed. That they may believe that the Lord still knows about them. And thus from that past, that rest, they may follow him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, like an Elijah in the wilderness was strengthened with grace. Do we understand it? O beloved, that is not a strange case in the life of the smallest one in grace. Do we understand it? If you miss it, ask for it. Because the words before our text said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His work is the same, and he can still apply it, and he does it the same as always. And if you may not deny it, or that it then be true, that the heart be established, be. O Lord, when it is thy time, draw me, that I may run after thee. And if it is thy time, bring me at thy table to taste, to be strengthened, thy crucified body and shed blood, signed in broken bread and shed wine, to his honor and to his glory. Shall we sing about it? 102. The third and the fourth. With my burden of transgression have he laid and overborne. Humbled low I make confession, for my folly now I mourn. 3 and 4 of 102. Let us now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, as you can find that on page 136 in the back of your psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, and secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and does firmly resolve henceforward to walk into love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contemptuous persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives, all these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, We acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted this supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now, after this manner, we are to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledged, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and have certainly feed and nourish you hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. besides that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake." Our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deeds towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace in prayer. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, the only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore reputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Hear us, O God and merciful Father, through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic and doubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is, our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him.
While all things are prepared, we sing together from Psalter 43, the first. Jehovah, hear thee in thy grief, our Father's God, defend thee still. And after this stanza, guests will be invited at the table of the Lord. Such ones in the midst of this congregation who in their grief desire strength from Zion's hill. All things are prepared. The King is there awaiting such a people. Beloved Elijah in the wilderness, when he could not see anything for himself anymore, there was left nothing, Lord, take now my soul. He was strengthened in his weakness. And by the strength of what he received, he was begiven to go 40 days in the wilderness until the Lord spoke again to him. Be strengthened. Are there yet such a people? The Lord is still there. Table is still open. He awaits such ones. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take ye, eat ye all of it. Remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete atonement for all our sins.
The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take ye, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed unto a complete atonement of all our sins. It is a good thing, and is that the experience this morning, that wonder, for that also lies in that, a good thing, a wonder, that the heart, the deepest self, all that is within me, be strengthened, be established, be confirmed. How? With bread and wine? No. With him who it signs and signifies. It says we have an altar, whereof they have no mind to eat. It served a tabernacle, but an altar, that is Christ. Who is altar, sacrifice, and high priest at the same time. And beloved, there will be an eternity needed to be one of that. Who suffered outside the camp. That is the fruit. Look unto him. And not only that, to receive him in an eye of faith, but also to go unto him, bearing his reproach. And then the reproach comes from within and without. And then the strife comes and the enmity. And when then the whispers from within and without come, then they have but one place to go. Unto whom shall I go? With empty hands, bearing his reproach. He suffered innumerable reproaches to thus nail the handwriting of our sins on the cross. Go unto him, or then he gives them feet to flee unto him, and hands to embrace him. He is my beloved. Go unto him bearing his reproach. O beloved, and it can be for a moment good, and it can be for a moment of pause, that he wants to stay there. But that is impossible. They have to go from strength to strength. From pause to pass, until they may arrive in Zion. Then there is no pass needed anymore. Then it is a rest that remains forever. It remains, it stays for the people of the Lord. And then the foretaste at the stable, will become with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. We close this table with 3:11, 1 and 2, and then Gads may return to the seats. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? 1 and 2. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commandeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is 423, stanza 7. Jehovah's kindly face gives happiness and grace. And what follows, and on behalf of the consistory, there is the second wedding announcement of Colin van Beek and Heidi van Pelt this August the 2nd at 11 a.m. here in the church. And the wedding, second wedding announcement of Joel Brouwer and Annelien Melwijk also this Friday, August the 2nd. At 2 p.m. with Reverend Verhoef officiating this all the Lord willing, the 7th of 423.
blessing of the Lord and depart in peace.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.